With his phone in hand, he dialed Lacey.
It's Will. You mind if I stop by?
Chapter 14. A knock sounded on Lacey's door and she began to rise from the sofa, briefly glancing at the kids as they played with their Legos. I'll be right back. She opened the front door and there stood Aaron, tattered jeans, white t-shirt with a gaming logo, and flip-flops. Thanks for coming on such short notice. Lacey stepped aside. Please come in.
Anything you need, Lacey. I'm here.
With his hands in his front pocket, he walked through the foyer and peeked into the living room.
Hey, kiddos.
When neither turned to him, Lacey felt the need to explain. Don't take it personally. They're not themselves right now. None of us are.
I understand. You mentioned the FBI agent was coming over.
Lacey began to walk into the kitchen and headed toward the refrigerator. Yes, he called earlier and was a little vague, but I imagine he must have some information for us. Can I get you something to drink? She grabbed a Diet Coke.
Just water, thanks.
He pulled out a seat at the kitchen table. I don't know what he's got, but I thought you should be here too. She sat down, placing the bottle in front of him. It's nice to have a friend around for support.
You sound as though you've been abandoned.
I feel like I have been. I don't have a job to go to, and my colleagues can't engage with me during the investigation. Everyone at Jay's office just feels sorry for me, and between those two places, that was pretty much the extent of my life.
I'm sorry, Lacey.
He began awkwardly peeling away the label on the bottle.
If I'd taken it more seriously, the stuff Jay and I found, maybe he'd still be here. I don't think either of us had any idea the extent of this.
No, I don't think Jay knew what he stumbled on, and certainly not that it might have had something to do with an impending terrorist attack. My gut is telling me Ballard was part of it, and Jay got trapped in the middle. Now we just need to find the proof. Another knock sounded on the front door. That must be Agent Kaysen. Excuse me. Lacey pushed off the chair and opened the door. Will, come in. I'm just talking with an old friend that I'd like to introduce you to.
I didn't mean to interrupt anything.
He followed her inside. You're not. This is Aaron Hunter. I asked him to stop by. Can I get you anything?
Will pulled up a seat at the table. No, thanks. He kept his eyes on Aaron.
Aaron was the one who helped Jay the day of the attack. She noted Will's apprehension. There's nothing you can say to me that you can't say to him. Still appearing uncertain, Will retrieved the documents.
I was able to gain entry into Owen Ballard's home.
He glanced at Lacey.
Don't ask. And I found some information that identifies the payer of at least some of the deposits that went into Ballard's account. Unfortunately, these were all I found. They were in a secure location, and again, don't ask. The less you know, the better.
He turned the folder toward Lacey and pointed to a name.
Here, this is who authorized the earlier deposits.
Asan Sajwani, Lacey replied. But this doesn't appear to be from Liwa Properties like we thought.
No, the money came from Dubai, but not from Liwa. Which means I don't know who Ballard was working with other than this man's name. Our initial theory was wrong. And unfortunately, none of these documents identify the source of the $2 million from China. But we have a name. I can do a lot with a name.
Aaron looked at Lacey.
I can look into this guy, Sajwani, and I'll sure as hell do the best I can to hide my tracks. Between the two of us, if we can find out where he's from, it might lead us to Beijing,
Will added. In a rare moment of normalcy, Lacey found herself laughing. She and Aaron sat in the living room, after finishing off the last of the leftover casserole someone had brought over as an offer of condolence. The kids were in bed and Celeste had gone to a room. Agent Kaysen had dropped a heavy task onto Aaron, and perhaps she'd asked him to stay for dinner out of guilt. Or perhaps it was that she didn't want to be alone, even if Celeste and the kids were in the house. It was a friend she needed, and Aaron was about the only one left.
You remember that instructor in our third year?
Aaron began to snap his fingers, trying to recall the name.
What the hell was his name?
Grossman. Professor Grossman, Lacey added.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
She sat up straight and thrust her shoulders back. Mr. Hunter, if you can't be on time, then kindly resign your place in this class for a student who can. This time they both laughed.
What a piece of work that guy was,
Aaron said. I wonder if he's still teaching. Lacey sipped on her wine and set it on the side table.
God, I hope not.
I think making students miserable was his top priority.
Yeah, that and squashing any hopes of creativity or individuality.
Lacey's laugh faded as she cast her gaze down. We sure had some fun in those days, didn't we?
Damn straight.
Aaron's enjoyment tempered as well. After a few moments of quiet, Lacey's eyes glistened. I miss him so much. Things weren't perfect in our marriage. I think we'd begun to take each other for granted. She inhaled a deep breath to curtail the tears. But he was my best friend, and he was an amazing father. Aaron, you should have seen him in action. He loved those kids with every fiber of his being.
I'm sure he loved all of you with his whole heart.
She nodded and wiped away a stray tear. It's not fair. This wasn't how things were supposed to turn out. Aaron moved next to Lacey on the couch. He grabbed her hand.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry I didn't try harder to keep in touch with you guys. I should have. Life gets in the way and, well, there's really no excuse.
With the crook of his finger, he raised her chin and gently turned her head toward him.
You and me, we'll find the truth. And I believe Agent Kaysen wants that, too. Jay would never have done anything to put you or the kids in danger, and I know he wasn't involved in any wrongdoings, corporate espionage or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Do you think I'm way off base about the attack?
You mean about the backdoor deals and payments and then the Nova Mall getting blown to bits?
Aaron paused.
Improbable. Maybe it is. Impossible? Definitely not. But if there is a link, then we'll make it and we'll find the truth.
David Hogan, Nova COO, appeared in Tom Neville's doorway and caught his eye.
Mr. Hogan, I wasn't expecting you.
He rose from his desk chair.
How are you, sir? I'm sure you weren't.
Hogan returned the greeting that Tom offered.
I had a meeting with the FBI this morning, and I know one of their men, Agent Kaysen, spoke with you the other day.
Yes, that's right. I offered all the help I could. A stammer sounded in Tom's voice until he cleared his throat.
I'll tell you, Tom, we're in a real situation here, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
He moved to the small sofa, hiked up his pants, and sat down.
I don't catch your meaning, Mr. Hogan.
Tom soon joined them.
The FBI has reason to believe there was an inappropriate relationship between you and a man who was found murdered the other day, an Owen Ballard. He was your contact at Argus Solutions.
Tom nodded.
And now he's dead.
Yes, sir. I was very sorry to hear that, especially after they just lost another one of their staff in the attack. But from what I understand, this was a random home invasion. Could have happened to anyone, unfortunately.
Maybe so. But in an effort to ensure transparency, we have provided the FBI with any and all information in our system regarding Argus and us here.
Okay. Hogan studied him further.
Is there anything I should know? Anything at all that might make it look as though Nova Investments was involved in underhanded activities?
Of course not.
Sir, I realize the attack has put everyone on high alert, but there was nothing improper going on with any of our business partnerships, I can assure you.
Hogan rose to his feet again.
Then you won't have a problem with turning over anything you have here in your office that isn't on our servers as it pertains to Argus.
No, I have no problem with that at all.
Good. Hogan made his way toward the hall. Come on in. We're ready for you.
He turned back to Neville.
Then you won't mind if these guys take a look.
Agent Kaysen appeared from beyond the corridor along with Mendez.
Do what you need to do, agents.
Hogan turned to leave.
Be sure to help these gentlemen out with whatever they need, Tom.
Kaysen smiled.
Where should we start, Mr. Neville?
Tom's chest tightened as he tried to maintain a steady breath. He couldn't be sure exactly what was in his office, but he didn't think they would find anything damaging. Still, if he just had a few minutes to check himself. His lips pressed together as he considered what Hogan had done.
Whatever you like, Agent Kaysen.
So, what was the point of that show of force? Agent Mendez pressed the remote to unlock his car.
You didn't really think we'd find anything in there, did you?
No, but I wanted to make him aware that we're watching him. Kaysen opened the passenger side door and slid onto the seat. Once Mendez started the car, he continued,
I just need to keep him on his toes.
Mendez pulled out of the Nova building parking lot.
Yeah, well, if he does have anything tucked away somewhere, he won't after today.
He turned to Kaysen.
I hope that's what you want, too. I want him to get nervous, to start reaching out to his contacts so we can find out who he's talking to and subpoena his phone records. That's what I want. I sure as hell hope you know what you're going after here. We need answers for the attack, and Tom Neville may be a devious son of a bitch. But you haven't convinced me any of this has anything to do with the attack. It'll come together, I promise you. There's a reason State wants us to close the door on this investigation, and I'm confident it has everything to do with skirting the truth. Mendez pulled into the parking garage at headquarters and cut the engine. Remember, this pursuit of ours is to remain with us. Unless we find something meaningful, no one needs to know about our visit today. They carried on inside and returned to their office, except someone was there waiting for them. I was wondering when you two would return from your little expedition. Trevor Axel stood from the chair. I thought we had an understanding, gentlemen. Our directive was clear, and yet you two are continuing down a path that is a waste of taxpayer dollars. Wasn't it you who said we could pursue any reasonable lead? Kaysen hadn't yet figured out how the CIA got wind of their Nova visit. No one on the team was aware, and unless David Hogan's phone calls were being traced, they wouldn't have known that Mendez made the call first thing this morning. We're just trying to cover all our bases, Agent Axel. Mendez approached his desk. We got a job to do just like you. Look, we all want answers, but I'm telling you, gentlemen, the word's come down, and it's from high enough that I don't have much choice except to listen. Axel continued, you've got no evidence to suggest involvement from anyone other than the terrorist group in the plotting or execution of this attack. Now, if you believe Nova was involved in the deaths of hundreds and the destruction of its own assets, that's on you. But if you truly believe that's the case, then I suggest you find something and soon. State will pull the rug out from under us at any minute. Axel made his way to the door. I do ask that you keep me informed in this process. It's just common courtesy. He closed the door behind him. Great. Mendez eyed his partner. Looks like we just pissed off the CIA. I know I'm right about this. I just need time to prove it. Hey, I didn't say I was angry about it. Those guys can go fuck themselves if they think they're the ones in charge of this investigation. I don't give a shit who Axel's state contact is. This is our deal. I couldn't agree more. Aaron opened the door to his apartment. Hey, thanks for coming over. He let Lacey inside, peeked around the corner of the hall just to be sure no one was watching, and then closed his door again. I just thought it'd be better to do this here rather than at your place. We have no idea who might be watching you. You think I'm being watched? No, it's just better this way. Aaron backpedaled, noting the panic in her eyes, and walked toward the desk in his living room. Pull up a chair. You need anything? No, I'm good. Lacey dragged over a chair from Aaron's dinette set and sat down next to him as his fingers once again began to dance along the keyboard. I was playing around a little last night after I left your place and hit a few roadblocks. He noted Lacey's concern. Don't worry, I wasn't detected. But then this morning I figured that I needed to write a kernel rootkit, so I've been working on that until you got here. Is it finished? Lacey recalled the purpose of a rootkit, and a kernel rootkit could do a lot more damage besides just getting into the back door of a system. Are you ready to install it?
I think so.
He hesitated.
Yeah, I'm ready. It'll work.
Where are you going first? Lacey asked.
We need to find out who Hassan Sajwani is, right?
Right.
Then we need to start with tracing the wire back to his bank account and try to get into his account settings. Get an email address, street address, something that will help us to locate him. Ballard was dumb enough to keep physical copies of the transactions, and not just a digital trail that blocked the payer. Now we have a name.
Or smart enough, Lacey added. It was probably a safeguard so he would have the names at the ready if the occasion arose. Except for our Beijing depositor, the one I think will reveal everything.
Right. He's still an unknown.
Aaron began typing again, and this time, when he stopped, he drew a great breath and waited.
Just give it a minute.
They watched the cursor flash.
Need to make sure it's going to let me in. Hang on.
Lacey's heart began to race. Years had passed since she felt this kind of excitement, and while this was for an entirely different reason, the thrill was the same. The FBI was lucky she was on the right side of the law. I'm in.
Chapter 15. There it was, right in front of her. The bank account that had belonged to a man by the name of Asan Sajwani and currently had a balance of $2,550,000. Lacey pointed her index finger at the screen. These payments coincide with the ones that were deposited into Owen's account. Let me get a screenshot of this. Aaron pressed the buttons to capture the image and continued. We know Sajwani was funneling money to Ballard. So where's Sajwani getting it from? And who the hell is he? What's his connection to Nova, Liwa, or to Ballard himself? Lacey added. Again, Aaron whittled away at the information, covertly probing the data while both hoped his rootkit remained stealthy. It would only take a system reboot to kick them out, or to be discovered. Why did Owen deposit money into an account in Jay's name? He was getting paid by this Sajwani guy, and from an unknown in China. How did this involve Jay? Lacey asked. Jay didn't know this account existed, I'm sure of it. You weren't here that day. He didn't know what he was looking at. That isn't how someone would behave if they were involved. So to me, that's the real problem. Who set up that account and why? Let's look a little more into Sajwani. Let's see what ties he has to Nova or Liwa properties. Can you get into his account settings? Aaron opened a new screen. I think so. She watched him work, and it begged the question. What have you been doing all this time? How have you managed to still be so good at this? I tend to operate in the gray, and we'll leave it at that. Aaron briefly smiled at her, but returned his attention to the keyboard. She wanted to believe him, but his skills far surpassed any in their old group of friends, most of whom had already moved on, started families and careers, much the way she and Jay had. But then, Aaron always marched to his own beat. You never sold out like the rest of us. I wouldn't say you guys sold out. You just grew up, he chuckled. I guess I never did. Let's just hope both of us don't end up in jail over this. Or dead. Aaron averted his eyes. I'm sorry. Don't be. You might be right. After several more minutes of nothing but the sound of a keyboard clicking, Aaron began. Hang on. I think I've got something here. He paused a moment and studied the screen. Holy shit. Sajwani is a consultant for Liwa. A consultant? Looks like it. I pulled up checks that had been scanned in for deposit. Take a look here. He pointed to the name on the check. Liwa Properties. And at the bottom it lists the contract number. I assume that he's a contract employee, a consultant. So, this went above Tom Neville's head. It went straight up the ladder to Liwa Properties. Well, a consultant to Liwa at the very least. I get the association, but it doesn't lead us any closer to the idea that Ballard had anything to do with the mall attack. And if anything, it makes it seem less likely. It's looking more and more like these guys were just trading corporate secrets and that's it. Where does Jay fit in with this, then? Aaron asked. I don't know. The deeper we get, the more it looks like he was involved, doesn't it? Aaron's screen went black. Shit. What the hell just happened? I'm out. They restarted their systems. I don't know. He turned to Lacey. They could have, or they found me. Inside the Bank of Panama, a young man whose talents were being wasted in the IT department now stood in front of his supervisor. I utilize a program that lists the interrupt descriptor table, and it saves us in its current form for review later on. I conduct a review twice daily to search for discrepancies between the original table and an IDT from that time of day. In layman's term, please, the supervisor demanded. Of course, sir. As I was saying, basically, the interrupter handle retrieves the system call address that has been modified. I was able to locate the address and recognize that it had been modified. From there, I discovered the rootkit, the, hack, if you will. The kid had managed to describe a process that had taken several hours and boil it down to a three-sentence description. Do you know who gained access and what they were looking for? Not yet, sir. I'm working on that. Then please do, and do your best, and do it quickly. He paused a moment. Would this intruder have gained access to personal information, identifying information? Yes, sir. Quite easily, I'm afraid. The man waved off his young protege. Then you must work quickly. With a nod, the kid returned to his department, where several other staff members were working on the system to locate the hacker. Mansur? Another young man sat in his cubicle and noted his colleague's return.
What did he say?
That we must work quickly to determine what information they were seeking.
Then I think you might want to know what I found.
He turned his monitor toward Mansoor.
I show 15 system drives that were accessed during the time frame in question.
That's quite a lot, Mansoor replied.
Agreed, but between the four of us, we should be able to analyze the drives relatively quickly.
Then let's divide and conquer.
Aaron unplugged his computer seconds after he had blacked out, and the two sat motionless, waiting for something to happen.
Shit. Shit, shit. Aaron pushed away from his desk and looked at Lacey.
Okay, just relax. There's no way they'll be able to track down my IP address. I routed the connection through Tor, and...
And unless they've got someone who's as smart as you are, then we're in the clear, Lacey replied.
Yeah, something like that. He stood up. I've planned for things like this. I've created protocols. Don't worry, Lacey. This won't be a problem.
Then why don't you sound convinced?
You should go home. Let me do what needs to be done. If anything, no one could possibly know that you were here or that we know each other. You and the kids will be just fine.
Lacey regarded Aaron with trepidation. I'll touch base with Will and give him what we know on Sajwani. She stood up to leave but stopped short. Maybe you should stay with me until we're in the clear. Like you said, no one knows that we're friends. If they did find out where you live, there's not a chance in hell they'd know you were with me.
I don't know, Lacey. The kids.
Aaron, you're just about the only person I can not only trust, but who knew me back in the day. Who knew us back then. I need you right now, and I need to keep you safe. You'll sleep in the guest room. The kids won't care one way or the other. I'll explain to them that you're one of Daddy's friends. Look, it won't be forever. Just a few days until we know for sure if anyone's tracked you down. This is because of me, and I won't abandon you.
Thanks for calling me back, Will. You're on speaker, and I have Aaron with me. We're heading back to my house now.
I got your message. You two all right?
Will replied. We're fine for now, but we're going to need your help.
I'll head over as soon as I can.
Okay, see you soon.
She pressed the call button.
We don't have much to give him. I didn't get that far,
Aaron said. You got far enough with Sajwani, and he needs to know there's a chance they can track you down. That'll have to do until we find another solution and make sure you're safe.
The sun was setting behind the house when they arrived, casting a heavy shadow over the front yard and the driveway.
I hadn't realized it had gotten so late.
Lacey parked on the driveway. She still couldn't bring herself to pull into the garage, next to Jay's car.
The kids are probably worried. She looked at Aaron. I try not to be gone for too long. They get panicked very easily these days.
I'm sure they do.
Come on, let's get inside.
Lacey opened the front door and waited for Aaron to catch up.
Celeste? Celeste? I'm back.
She turned to Aaron. She's probably outside with the kids or something. I'll show you to the guest room. Aaron followed.
You know, before all this, I don't think I'd been here for a few years. Probably since before Jackson came along.
Really? It had been that long? We'd only just gotten the house then.
She flipped the light switch in the room.
This is it.
The room was elegant in decor, luxurious bedding, dark wood furnishings polished with impeccable shine.
You have your own bathroom, too.
She pointed in its direction. Just over there.
I don't think I've ever stayed in a place so fancy.
Aaron turned to her.
Guess I should have gone into Jay's line of work.
Lacey smiled.
He was a hell of a salesman, that's for sure. And he knew his stuff.
I'll let you get settled in while I track down the kids.
She turned away and headed back down the corridor until reaching the staircase in the foyer.
Olivia! Jack!
With growing concern, Lacey continued to search the house until deciding to check out back, and when she opened the French doors, there they were, running through a sprinkler.
You're back.
Celeste rested in an Adirondack chair on the deck, watching the kids.
They were getting worried you weren't home, so I decided to take their minds off of it.
Thank you. This is perfect. It looks like they're having a ball.
Lacey approached. You always know just what to do.
Well, I don't know about that. But how are you anyway? I was expecting you a little bit sooner.
I'm sorry, I got caught up. Listen, I'm having an old friend stay with us for a while. You remember Aaron Hunter.
He was here a few days ago.
Yes, of course. Well, that will be very nice.
She noted the time on her watch.
Oh, should I start preparing dinner?
Actually, why don't you just get the kids taken care of for tonight? Agent Kaysen will be stopping by soon, too, and, well, we'll grab something later, if that's all right.
Certainly. But do you want to tell me what all this is about? You've been in and out for the past few days. You still haven't told me what happened with work, and you've got that look in your eyes.
Mommy. Jackson trudged through the Kentucky bluegrass, its lush green blades clinging to his skin.
You're home.
A pleasant laughter sounded in her voice as she reached for him.
Oh, you're soaking wet.
Not one to be left out. Olivia soon joined them.
Go get your suit on, Mom. Run through the sprinkler with us.
I don't think so, hon. Not this time. We've got company for a few days, and I'm working on something just now. Disappointment swept over her.
Okay.
Olivia turned away and walked back to the sprinkler.
Why don't you catch up with your sister, Jack?
He immediately raced back.
Aaron's getting settled now, so I better get back inside.
Just let the kids stay out here as long as they want, if you're okay with that. They need to burn off some energy. Lacey returned inside where she found Aaron sitting in the living room.
Everything okay?
Everything's great. Thanks for letting me crash here for a while.
I owe it to you for getting you involved in this mess.
Technically, it was Jay, but I don't hold either of you responsible.
He smiled.
It was my decision, and I don't regret it.
Not yet.
The sound of an approaching car caught Lacey's attention, and she peered through the front window.
Looks like Will is here.
I'm still not convinced he's working in your best interest, Lacey. I know he's helped you out, but...
He's with us, trust me.
She opened the door.
Will, please come in.
He entered and noticed Aaron's approach.
Good to see you again, Mr. Hunter.
It's Aaron.
He shook his hand.
So, what happened today?
Lacey led the way into the kitchen and sat down at the dining table. We ran into a snag earlier. She looked at Aaron. Want to explain?
Long story short, we were able to get information on Hassan Sajwani. He's a consultant for Liwa Properties. That's a good start, Will added. Deposits into Ballard's records match payments from Sajwani's account, so we know they're connected. The problem came shortly after that.
He hesitated, but with reassurance from Lacey went on.
My program was discovered, I believe, and I was kicked out of the system.
Will's jaw clenched, immediately hardening his features.
Can they trace it back to you? It's possible, if they've got the right people. Look, my code was solid, hidden beneath layers of other code, but I think I was exposed.
I've insisted Aaron stay here with me until we figure out if he's in danger. I won't let him risk any more than he already has.
If they can locate you, how long will it take?
Will asked.
I don't know. I'm going to lay low for a few days, see what happens. I hid my location well. It won't be easy for them.
Will rubbed his face with his palms.
We don't have days. There's a shitload of pressure on the task force to bring this case to closure. We only need one person to leak to the public that the Army of Islam claimed responsibility. Once that happens, it won't matter what we find.
They're still pushing that agenda? Lacey asked.
I don't have proof to suggest otherwise.
He looked at Aaron again.
I appreciate what you've done so far. Frankly, I think you made it farther than I believed you could. And I can start looking into Hassan Sajwani, now that we know he has ties to Liwa Properties. The fact that he's doing work for them makes me think he was also working with Tom Neville. But I need to get more information. See what he's been up to for the past year or so. Who knows? Maybe he's tied to the terrorists. This doesn't help Lacey and it doesn't help Jay. If anything, it'll do the exact opposite.
Aaron studied her for a moment before returning his attention to Will.
I can get back online, get an air-gapped computer, help you nail him down. There are still a few of us on the task force who think what State's doing is bullshit. I can recruit their help, too. What I'm equally interested in is who the hell gave Ballard the $2 million. Who in Beijing was he working with? Sajwani's a good lead, and we can only hope he'll get us a step closer to the money coming from China. I can get back online inside of 24 hours.
From here? Lacey asked.
No, it can't be from here. I don't want to risk your exposure, Will said. I know a place, a secure place. I'll confirm its availability and let you know first thing in the morning where to go. I'll open it up.
Chapter 16.
The seventh-floor IT department was showered with early morning light, but only a handful of staff occupied the space that accommodated several otherwise empty cubicles. They'd been tasked with discovering not only the identity of the nefarious hacker, but also what information might have been compromised. "Monsieur," a young woman with strands of brown hair dangling from a bun high on her head, shook his arm. "Monsieur, wake up. We have it." "What? What time is it?" He began to rouse. "How long have I been asleep?"
"I don't know, but that doesn't matter. We have the files that were accessed without authorization."
Monsieur sat up at his desk and searched for his glasses, which sat haphazardly on top of his head.
"Let me see that."
She handed him the list.
"We were able to reverse-engineer the rootkit, too."
This was of particular interest to Monsieur as he captured her gaze.
"You know who did this?"
"Yes, with almost certainty."
"Who?"
"Come with me, I'll show you."
She turned from him, but when no steps sounded behind her, she stopped.
"Monsieur, please come quickly."
He adjusted his glasses and took the list with him, following her back to her cubicle.
"It's already morning?"
"Yes, it's 5 o'clock. We've been at these all night, but you'll be happy with what we found."
She returned to her desk, where another colleague waited patiently.
"He was asleep." She gestured toward Monsieur as though she were hitchhiking. "Show him what we found."
Monsieur leaned in toward his colleague while he retrieved the much-anticipated information. "The sooner we understand how these infiltrators access our systems, the sooner we'll be able to correct the problem. But we need to get the location, and management can decide how to proceed." "This is where the last exit node was located." The young man at the desk turned the screen towards the others.
"How does this help us?"
Monsieur returned upright and placed his hands on his hips.
"This does nothing more than tell us where the last relay point was, not the location of the IP address."
He began to shake his head.
"I can't go to them with this. This is nothing."
"I'm sorry. I thought this would tell us what we needed to know."
The girl glanced at the list on Mansur's hand and reached for it.
"These files here were the ones accessed."
He began to peruse the list.
"This will have to do for now. Just keep working on it."
The padlock clicked open and Agent Kaysen removed the chain from the double doors of the apartment building.
"This is it."
"Well," Aaron looked around as they stepped inside.
"I guess it's better to have an extra layer of protection."
"Speaking as a staff member, former staff member of the FBI," Lacey began, "I know it would be very difficult to track down your IP location, but you and I both know it's not impossible."
"She's right. Come in, I'll show you around and we can get started."
Aaron continued inside.
"How do you know about this place?" "About a year ago, an isocell was discovered here, and through a coordinated effort between the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the local FBI field office, we were able to track them down and put the kibosh on their plans. The property was seized by the FBI and left abandoned."
The building was all of 3 stories, dilapidated and filled with the scent of musty decay as it sat uncared for in the elements. The first floor contained the manager's apartment and was the largest of the 10-unit structure.
"This is the best room in the house."
Will opened the door to a large open-space loft that would suit their needs.
"I'll just run back out to the car and grab the folding table and chairs."
"Let me give you a hand with that." Aaron followed him back outside. Lacey stood in the middle of the room, staring at the water stains on the ceiling, and wondering how she came to be here. In the past 2 weeks, she buried her husband, been put on indefinite leave, and was now operating covertly on a desperate mission to find the truth behind the attack and find out who was responsible for the death of her husband. And she'd dragged a few people along with her, one of whom could face suspension at best and termination at worst, and another who was risking everything to hack into a foreign bank's security system. She didn't know if she wanted to laugh or cry at the incongruity of the situation. The men returned with arms full of temporary furnishings in order to make the place usable in its most basic form. Aaron dropped the folding chairs to the ground, and Will turned the table upside down to set it up.
"It's not the Ritz," Will said.
Lacey did have a growing concern that she hadn't yet addressed, and figured now was the best time, before they travel too far down this path.
"Will, does your boss know about this? SSA Mendez, does he know what we're doing here?"
He looked at Lacey and then Aaron.
"Let's just say he's letting me do my job and find out the truth."
Aaron nodded and finished setting up the folding chairs.
"Let's get started then."
Monsieur stood in front of his superior while he studied the list of files that were accessed. "This is all we have at the moment, sir, but we are working on finding out who got into our system." The man raised a stare to Monsieur.
"You sure these are the only files compromised?"
Monsieur nodded. "We have found no other concerns."
"Thank you. When you find out the rest, come see me as soon as possible."
"Of course. Thank you, sir." The man watched Monsieur leave his office and then picked up his desk phone.
"Hello, Mr. Sajwani."
"Yes, sir.
I have some information that might prove difficult for you to hear."
Sajwani listened as the bank's head of IT explained how it was that his personal information, including his banking details, had been accessed.
"And you still aren't aware who obtained this information?"
"No, sir, but I can guarantee we are working around the clock for answers."
Sajwani ended the call and dropped his cell into his pants pocket.
"I have some distressing news."
Lei Jian eyed his partner.
"And what might that be?"
"Someone seems to be interested in what I do for a living and how I spend my money. The bank system were accessed by an unidentified source, and the only files that were opened were mine."
Jen glowered at the man who had relayed the news.
"Leave this with me."
"Yes, sir."
Hassan Sajwani took his leave. Jen made a call he hadn't wanted to make. The line rang and was soon answered.
"I need your help. We need to make a visit to Panama."
He waited while the person on the line considered his request.
"Yes, it will have to be tomorrow."
Lei Jin wasn't a man known for pleasantries. He ended the call after receiving the desired answer and peered through the window of his office.
"We know Sajwani made deposits into Ballard's account,"
Will began,
"but I need to know why. What was he being paid for? Information? Same as Tom Neville. But that wouldn't make sense because the two are essentially working for the same team." "Until I can get back inside, I don't know what to tell you."
Aaron looked at Lacey.
"I'm working on it, but it takes time."
"Will understands that. He's just thinking out loud." She cast a brief glance to him.
"Right?" "Yes, sorry. But time is something that is in very short supply right now."
Aaron seemed to be feeling the pressure and spun around.
"Let me ask you this. Why the hell aren't we looking into state? You mean to tell me someone up there doesn't want the truth? That they just want it finished?" "That's exactly what I'm telling you. The longer we drag this out, the worse it'll look on them."
"On them? Or on the administration?" Lacey asked.
"They're one and the same," Will replied. "Right now, SSA Mendez is handling them as best he can. But that won't last." "Hang on a second," Aaron said. "I'm back in. Let's find out who this son of a bitch is."
Lacey suddenly felt as though they were under surveillance. "You'd better work fast."
"I'm nervous enough as it is, Lacey. Just chill out, would you?"
Aaron turned to her.
"I'm sorry, I didn't mean that."
"Yes, you did. It's okay. Just do what you need to do." Aaron continued to type at lightning speed.
"Okay, this is where we left off the other day."
He continued to enter more commands.
"I've got the bank account pulled up."
"Sajwani's?" Will leaned in for a closer look.
"Yes." "Good. Who's giving him money besides Liwa? I don't think he's working alone. Someone who has deep pockets is funding whatever the hell this is, and that's who we need to find."
Beads of sweat formed on Aaron's neck.
"Just give me a minute. I'm looking into his transactions now. These guys are smart. This is digital money, and it's hard as hell to trace. I need the logs."
"Logs?"
"The banking logs. They'll show me the transactions."
He continued to work through the system. "God, please hurry, Aaron."
Will rested a hand on her shoulder. "Don't worry, Lacey. I won't let anything happen to either one of you." "This is it."
Aaron's eyes remained fixed on the screen.
"I deciphered the encryption. Holy shit. This guy was getting money from Beijing, too." "Aaron, can you get us a name?"
Will pressed on.
"Just give me a minute, for Christ's sake."
He wiped the sweat from his brow.
"I broke the encryption, so I should be able to find out where the cryptocurrency originated. Jesus, these guys are good."
"Well, we need you to be better," Lacey replied.
"Bam, I got it. Lei Jin, that's the payer. Son of a bitch."
Aaron marveled at his handiwork.
"Lei Jin," Lacey said. "Who the hell is that?"
I've captured the image. Now I need to get out of here before I'm exposed. Wait, can you find out anything else? Are there any identification numbers, a passport, anything that will tell me who the hell this man is? Will asked. I don't know. I don't see anything. Aaron tried to wade through the back door of the program in search of anything else that would help them identify him. He began to type again, and his monitor flashed, then went dark. Wait, what the fuck? He stared at the black screen. No, this can't be happening again. Lacey's heart jumped into her throat. They found you? I don't know, maybe. Aaron tried to shut his computer down. I'm locked out. He reached for the plug and yanked it from his laptop, then flipped it over and pulled the battery out. That's it? You're out? Will's eyes scanned his laptop, as if searching for whatever could be wrong with it. I'm out, man. Aaron slammed the table. Fuck. That's it. Will, you're going to have to do something. Take this to Mendez. We have to have enough now. Aaron is too exposed. We all are. Okay, let me think. Will paced the room. We have a name, and we know he's in Beijing. I can work with this. He pulled out his own laptop and booted it up while he sat on one of the chairs. What the hell are you going to do? Aaron asked. I'm going to run a search on the name. What about your CIA contact? Lacey asked. Axel's the one who's pushing us to wrap this up. Will continued to log into the FBI server. You think he doesn't want the truth either? Lacey replied. I didn't say that. I think his hand is being forced. Then he might just be a friend. Lacey looked to Aaron. What do you think? She might be right. We're treading in international waters here, and I've broken I don't know how many laws, and we still don't have all the information we need. If anyone can get it, CIA sure as hell should be able to. Agent Kaysen stood at attention in front of the memorial wall in the lobby of the original headquarters building at Langley. The black stars etched into the marble were a stark reminder that his job and those of his CIA counterparts carried immense risks. Agent Kaysen. Will turned to see Axel approach. A staff operations officer, he acted as liaison between Langley and the other CIA field offices. His guidance on strategic operations and knowledge of tradecraft meant he also interacted with the rest of the intelligence community. Thank you for meeting with me on such short notice. Will shook his hand. My pleasure. I'll take you upstairs. Axel led the way to his office. On their arrival, he showed Will inside and closed the door. Have a seat. What is it that I can help you with, Agent Kaysen? Given our prior meeting, I'm a little surprised to see you here. He returned to his desk. There have been some recent developments, and pursuing them are beyond my authority. I'm listening. I have two names, Asan Sajwani and Lei Jin. Ring a bell with you at all? Axel regarded him with curiosity. I thought I made myself clear about the direction you and your office were to take in regard to the mall attack. I'm assuming you believe these people had something to do with it. We need the FBI to wrap this up in a nice, neat little bow. Kaysen furrowed his brow as he watched Axel cast his gaze through the window and into the corridor. It was as though he was looking for something or someone. He thought he'd had a good read on him, but this left him to speculate on the man's intentions. I know there are people who'd like to see that happen, but I'm doing everything in my power to put that off as long as possible, until I can get to the bottom of this. I'm hanging my ass out on a line, and I'm asking you to do the same because I'm getting close to something. Axel folded his hand and rested his elbows on the desk. No, the names don't ring a bell. So do you have anything else on them? They've both left a money trail that leads to Owen Ballard with Argus Solutions. You know, the people who contracted with Nova to provide cybersecurity. How much are we talking? Not much, just $2 million and change. We'll retrieve the bank statements that were found in Ballard's home and what they'd found online. As you can see here, Asan Sajwani was depositing money into Ballard's account. Oh, and by the way, he's a consultant for Liwa Properties. We traced a large deposit that had been made using cryptocurrency back to Lei Jin. That was the $2 million. Given the FBI's current view of the investigation and who has claimed responsibility, Axel began. I'm curious. You say we traced the money. Who's we? Must have been someone capable of accessing systems not normally accessible, unless warrants are issued. I need to know how you want to handle this before disclosing any other names.
Axel seemed to consider the request.
Looks like this Ballard sent money to an account in Jay Merrick's name.
He peered over the papers at Will.
Who is he, and was he working with Ballard, too?
He's dead, killed in the blast. I know he had no knowledge of this account, but I haven't been able to prove it yet. The most likely scenario was that Ballard was either setting up to frame Merrick, or he knew Merrick would be dead soon and he needed a place to hide the money he received. Axel pulled upright in his chair.
Let me ask you this. Is Lacey Merrick working with you?
Will wondered how he knew about Lacey. He'd never brought up her name before.
Are you offering your guidance?
Axel laughed.
You want me to go around the State Department, around the FBI, and look into people whom we have no reason to suspect have any involvement in the terrorist attack. But you won't divulge who I'll be dealing with? Trust is a two-way street, Agent Kaysen.
He stood up.
Give me a day. I'll get back with you if I find out anything.
He extended his hand.
In the meantime, whatever your relationship with Lacey Merrick is, I suggest you keep her out of sight.
Thank you. After Will left, Axel picked up his phone.
Who do you know in MSS?
Chapter 17. The private aircraft skidded along the runway and came to a stop. Two cars waited several feet away. Moments later, the door opened, and Lei Jen, along with a colleague, stepped onto the platform and descended the portable staircase. They were greeted by a small team of escorts, headed up by Hassan Sajwani.
Welcome to Panama.
He greeted the men with his hands at his sides and a partial bow. As he stood upright again, he gestured toward the car.
Shall we?
Lei Jen and his partner stepped into the back seat of the black town car and was soon joined by Sajwani and the driver, Imad Mufid.
We have voiced our concerns to the head of the bank, and they have agreed to allow us to participate in resolving the problem at hand, Sajwani said. This problem should not be underestimated, Mr. Sajwani. We are here to get to the bottom of it, without further potentially damaging exposure to our people. Of course, Mr. Jin. That being said, this meeting will not show up on any banking records, no guest sign-in sheets or badges being assigned. This is strictly off the books.
The Bank of Panama towered over the rest of the buildings downtown. Jen's car arrived and Sajwani led the way inside.
We're here to see Mr. Marquez, he said to the woman at the front desk.
Moments passed before a man who was flanked by a sizable entourage moved toward Jen and his team.
So nice to see you again, Marquez offered his hand to Jen. Please follow me and we can get started.
Jen fell in beside him as they walked toward the elevator.
We appreciate your willingness to resolve this issue quickly and quietly.
Of course. Marquez stepped out onto the top floor of the skyrise and entered a conference room.
Please come in and take a seat.
Lacey slipped on her shoes as she sat at the kitchen table preparing to leave. Celeste eyed her with uncertainty. Lacey felt her stare and returned her gaze.
What is it, Celeste? It just seems like you've been gone a lot these past several days.
She sat up and turned in her direction. I know I haven't been very forthcoming in my reasons for being away, and I'm sorry for that, but it's not something I can speak freely about right now.
I've been hesitant to say anything, but the children do need you right now. They're still afraid, they're grieving, and they need their mother. I'm sorry to be so blunt.
Lacey closed her eyes.
I haven't been around much lately, and you deserve an explanation. The kids deserve an explanation.
Austerity shrouded her face and sounded in her voice.
I have been searching for something that, in the end, will explain my behavior. I'm doing this for them.
How much longer, then?
As long as it takes to get to the truth. And will that truth bring you peace?
I can't answer that. Lacey rose from her seat and grabbed her things. I'll be in touch later this afternoon. She turned her attention to the family room.
Aaron, are you ready?
Lacey held the door open while Aaron walked outside into the early light that exposed a bright sky.
I'll be in touch, Celeste. Please tell the kids I love them.
She closed the door without waiting for a response. Guilt had begun to weigh her down as she stepped inside the car and grasped the steering wheel. Her head dropped against her knuckles.
You okay?
Aaron asked as he joined her, sliding into the passenger seat.
Fine.
Lacey started up the car and made her way through the winding community roads and eventually onto the main street where she would pick up Agent Kaysen and prepare to meet with the CIA counterpart. Their circle was widening, which brought about even more concern. She pulled alongside the abandoned apartment building and texted her arrival to Will. Staring at the door of the building, Lacey waited for him to appear. She checked her phone, but no reply. With an urgent sense of caution, Lacey checked her rearview mirror, then sideview mirrors. Where the hell is he? Aaron seemed concerned and cast a glance over his shoulder.
I don't know. I guess we should go knock.
She'd begun to fear the worst, but just as she turned off the engine to get out, Will appeared at the front of the building. She eyed him as he walked to the rear passenger side and stepped in.
Morning.
Jesus, I thought something happened to you. What took you so long? Will raised his hands in surrender.
Sorry, I was on a call.
She shook her head and held a stare when a sudden burst of laughter erupted. I'm sorry. I'm getting too paranoid. Lacey still chuckled as she started up the engine again and glanced to Aaron, but he didn't seem amused. Her smile turned to shock and Lacey jumped when the crash of shattering glass flew at them from behind. Instinctively, her hands pulled away from the ignition and covered her head.
Drive! Lacey, drive!
Aaron shouted at her, his neck dripping blood from a shard that sliced the side of it. The crack of a gunshot sounded again, and Lacey slammed the gas pedal amid more flying glass. The tires of her heavy SUV were slow to react, and she hit the steering wheel. Come on! Come on! With a hard turn, Lacey was on the road, speeding away from whoever was firing the shots. Will pointed his gun through the broken window.
Just keep going.
Jesus! Jesus! Aaron looked back at the man on the motorcycle who was holding the gun.
Go! Go, go! He's catching up!
I'm trying! Lacey pulled a hard right and felt the two left wheels raise from the road. Aaron, you're bleeding! She looked at the blood spilling down his shirt.
Just go. He's still following us. You have to lose him, Lacey, Will said.
Her hands trembled and her eyes searched for a safer path ahead. Whoever it was already figured out where they'd set up. How long would it be before they found out where she lived?
They fucking found me.
Aaron still peered through the shadowed rear window, his eyes glued on the man with the gun.
Go to headquarters. He won't follow us there. It's the only place, Will said.
Lacey heard him speak, but her head was scrambled with thoughts of her children's safety.
Lacey, he shouted. Did you hear me? Go to headquarters now.
His words finally reached her. Okay, okay. She pressed again on the gas pedal and put distance between them and the motorcycle. The freeway wasn't an option because her SUV was too slow. The motorcycle would easily catch up to them and fire again. No, she would have to lose him in the streets. Two blocks ahead, she made another sharp right, then again at the next block. Headquarters was in the opposite direction, and they needed to turn around, but her maneuvers were designed to make it more difficult for their would-be killer to keep up.
It's working, Lacey. Just keep going.
Will still faced the back window. She began to make a series of turns, zigzagging as best she could without flipping her vehicle. These were streets she knew well, probably better than the motorcycle man. Do you see him? Is he still there? Aaron continued to survey the road behind them.
I think you did it. I think he's gone.
He's right, Will said. You lost him.
Lacey quickly glanced at the red stain that was growing on Aaron's shirt. We need to get you to a hospital.
No. We'll have to file a report and all that other bullshit, and that'll just bring them to our door. We can't risk it.
Will replied.
I have a better solution.
Agent Axel stood up from the chair as they entered the door of the man's home.
Looks like you could use some help.
He took Aaron by his arm and helped Will bring him to one of the chairs.
You mind if I take a look at that?
He began to examine Aaron's wounds, but stopped.
You sure you lost the tail?
I'm sure, Will replied.
Good.
Axel opened up a gym bag that rested on the floor of his entryway. He pulled out a first aid kit, only not like the kind Lacey recalled using when her family went camping. He approached Aaron.
Any other pieces of glass in there?
I don't think so.
Okay, this is gonna sting.
He pressed a disinfectant pad against Aaron's neck, and Aaron pulled away.
Son of a bitch! I told you it was gonna sting. Now let me get this stitched up, or we're gonna have a whole nother set of problems to deal with.
Aaron returned to his position and let the man do what needed to be done.
I guess it's safe to assume whoever was after you this morning was working for the people you hacked twice, Axel began. And I think we know, at least in part, who some of those guys are.
He looked at Will.
You want to tell them?
I enlisted Agent Axel's help after briefing him on what we'd discovered, and he made a few calls. Will began. We now have a new direction to take this investigation, one that I know is going to ruffle a whole lot of feathers. Axel finished the last stitch.
There, you're as good as new.
He placed a gauze pad and taped it over Aaron's neck.
It doesn't look pretty, and you'll have a decent scar. But hey, chicks dig scars, right?
He looked at Lacey.
No disrespect, ma'am.
She observed the man who must have been pushing 50 and decided to let him off the hook. He'd helped Aaron, after all, and allowed them to come to his home. None taken. So tell us, who are they? The ones who sent the man on the motorcycle?
Can't say with certainty that I know the identity of the man who came after you, but I do know who he's working for. You ever heard of China's MSS?
No.
The Ministry of State Security. Basically China's secret service.
The deposit from Beijing. Lacey placed her hands on her hips.
You two tracked down a man by the name of Lei Jin, Axel continued. He has ties with the MSS. We're still working on how exactly he connects to Sajwani and Owen Ballard. I haven't figured out all the pieces of this puzzle yet, and that's why I agreed to step in and offer some help. Pooling all our resources is paramount right now. We don't have much time.
Right, Will began.
And we've got the State Department hounding us, too. I think we're dealing with multiple parties with different agendas, and we'd better figure